This is the CPC Podcast, episode 19 for December 2nd, 2018. Moravian Love Feast Devotional. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. In this episode of the pod, we'll have a shortened episode that covers the Moravian Love Feast that was held on the evening of December 2nd, 2018. Reverend Tim Reeves officiated the service and gave a short meditation. In church news this week, our annual Christmas cantata will be held on December 23rd. Reverend Tim Reeves will have a short devotional that Sunday, so you can expect a shortened episode of the podcast that week. We'll be hosting our annual Christmas Eve candlelight service at 3:30 p.m. this year. Please make note of the early time if you plan on attending, and we would love to have you. We are on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the username CentralPresPB. Now let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Timothy Reeves.
It has been decades since I last took part in a Moravian love feast. But the memories of this beloved tradition remain some of the most powerful in my life. I remember the towering figure of Dave Gallagher standing in the pulpit at 16th and Poplar, introducing the love feast to this congregation for the very first time. I remember him telling us about how in the early days of the church, Christians would gather around the table in love and fellowship and share a meal together. I remember him talking many times about how so often our Lord's most profound teachings took place as he broke bread with others. I remember the brass band led by Sonny Kintz and Donnie Mead playing beloved Christmas carols. And true, there are many here this evening who never had the pleasure of hearing their band play, but as I listened to them in my formative years and my youth, I was convinced that the sounds that came out of their instruments was not only heaven-sent, but I thought a pretty true representation of what the angels praising God on his throne in heaven must sound like. And I remember the tantalizing aromas of freshly baked sweetbreads and hot wassail wafting on the air as we gathered around tables in the fellowship hall. I remember feeling closer to God and closer to others as we ate. So I can truly tell you, it is one of the great pleasures in my life to share this tradition with this congregation, which loved me so dearly and nurtured my faith from an early age. And while it is true that the Moravians' tradition of a love feast can be held at any time, for me, it will always and ineffably be associated with the season of Advent and Christmas. For with the exception of Holy Week and Easter, no other season of the church year captures the height and depth and breadth of God's love for us than this season, in which we celebrate that glorious truth that the Word became flesh and lived among us, full of grace and truth. But as I stand before you, fully aware of what a great privilege it is to be here, I am also fully aware of the daunting task before me. Because tradition for tradition's sake is not what we are here to celebrate. The notion that we have always done something a certain way before or never done something else before is behind many of the sacred cows that have been manifested in the Church of Jesus Christ. The golden calf didn't turn out too well for the Israelites, and sacred cows seldom turn out well for any of us. In fact, let's just all agree to concede this important truth. Sacred cows make the best hamburgers. So I think it's important that we remember why we do what we do. And as I thought about this truth and about my own memories and how they center on this tradition, I found myself this past week drawn to this evening's readings from Scripture. And I will grant that neither of them mentions a love feast at all. If you want to read about love feasts, I would encourage you to read the book of Acts or the Epistle of Jude. But both of these, this evening's passages, in their own ways, speak to the love that we celebrate and as Christians are called to share. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself. Emptied himself. Think about that. He who created the heavens and the earth left his heavenly home to live a wayward and vulnerable existence. He who is the King of kings and Lord of lords would submit to being hunted by Herod, who felt the birth of a new king was a threat to his throne. He who numbers the hairs on our heads was forced to live as a refugee in Egypt. He who loves us all unconditionally was rejected by his own people, unjustly tried and convicted and put to an agonizing death on a cross. Our Lord emptied himself. He gave everything he had to show us the boundless love of our God, or that our God has for each and every one of us. Good Christian friends, rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now ye hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and we are blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. I once heard about a church who, as part of their outreach program, rented a space in the corridors of a local mall. And they did so with the intent of putting up a Christmas display for all to see. But it was the most unusual Christmas display because they had a huge screen TV which had on a loop images of refugees, of people in soul-crushing poverty, of those who had lost everything because of war or famine, of lepers being tended by others. And in the background, they were playing that hymn, that carol, Good Christian Friends Rejoice. And in a banner over the top of that huge TV screen, they had in beautiful calligraphy the words, "Christ was born for this." And can you guess how that message was received? The mall asked them to leave because the patrons in the mall found it to be too depressing for the holidays. Christ was born for that, to love those whom the world so often ignores. Paul says, let that same mind be in you. Let your love for others know no bounds. Love one another like Christ loves. Love the widow. Love the orphan. Love the alien, legal and illegal. Love the littlest. Love the last. Love the lost. Love the least. Love the left out and the left behind. Love the lonely. Love the rich. Love the poor. Love your neighbors. Love your enemies. Love like Christ loves. In essence, I believe that's the type of love that Job himself exhibited. I've always seen Job as a forerunner of Christ, one who was truly righteous and suffered undeservedly. And the words we read this evening from Job are part of his protest after he has lost everything and his supposed friends have come to offer him comfort and consolation. And yet all they do is keep telling him, you must have done something. Confess your sins, man. God's out to get you until you do. And he says, no, I have not done anything wrong. And these words tonight are part of that protest. And in those verses, we get a small glimpse of the type of love that Job, the righteous man, exhibited for others. One of the things we learn in these verses is that Job never ate alone if someone else was around, whether he knew them or not. Whether they could repay the favor or not, it did not matter. Whether they were an orphan or a widow or a stranger on the street, Job shared his meal with them. But he did more than that. He shared his companionship with them. He shared himself. And isn't that what Christ did when he became flesh and lived among us? During this time of year, when we are joyful, we must remember all who find these days burdensome because of grief, because of loneliness, because of their own sense of isolation. And our tables must be long enough and wide enough to welcome all in the name of Him who welcomes us. You know, the Moravian Christians certainly thought so, because, in fact, they thought it was our Christian duty to do so, because the part of our reading tonight from Job formed the basis of their weekly liturgy on Sundays. Each week, as they would gather on Sundays to worship God, they would say this prayer: oh, that we might never see a necessitous person go unrelieved. Oh, that none of us might eat his morsel alone. Oh, that we might see none suffer for want or clothing. Oh, that we might be eyes to the blind and feet to the lame. Oh, that we could refresh the dejected hearts. Oh, that we could mitigate the burden of the laboring man and be ourselves not ministered to, but minister. And to do good be our princely repast. That the blessing of him who was ready to perish might come upon us. Let the same mind be in you that was always in Christ Jesus. May God grant that we will always love like that. And to God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Timothy Reeves for filling our pulpit this week. If you enjoyed what you heard today, please take a minute to subscribe. We're on Apple Podcasts. We're also in the Google Play Store, and we're on the Stitcher app. And leave us a review. It helps people find us. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week.